Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Have you caught much of the games since it started on Friday?
Oh, international sport, yeah. I've been watching little bits and pieces here and there. Like, they keep switching channels all the time, which is really annoying. You start watching one program, all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're going to go away from this. And you're like, no, I was in the middle of watching that.
You might have thought that the most laughable thing about the game so far has been Channel 7's coverage of it when they go, oh, 3 minutes left in that Boomers game against, who were they playing the other day?
Nigeria.
3 minutes left, stuff it. Let's go to something else.
Yeah, that's what they did. And then they went back to it and it was finished. I'm like, great, cool.
But no, the biggest laugh so far seems to have come from this poor Argentinian volleyballer who has the name Loser emblazoned on the back of his uniform. His full name, Augustin A. Loser.
So that's even worse. Poor bugger.
And what makes it even worse was they were playing the Russians the other day and they actually lost 3-1. Argentina went down against them. So, it's tough being an athlete when you got a name like that. I mean, it's tough for the commentators. You can imagine them, you know, commentating on him during the game just going,
go. Loser getting ready to spike. Loser scores. Oh, and at 1.98 meters, he really is the biggest loser on the court.
You know, that guy's going to be copping it for the rest of the games, but he's not alone, though. You know,
there's been some shockers over the years.
I mean, we've got our very own swimmer, Ariane Titmus. Ariane. What a silly name. but there's been some others over the years. In 2008, there was a boxer from Ghana, Prince Octopus Zani.
Prince Octopus.
And you might also remember this from the same games back in 08. Kim, you suck.
Oh, no.
So, you know, when it comes to having a bad surname, you don't want to have a commentator yelling out, you suck! Oh, you suck!
Yeah, one of the worst ones was the Sydney 2000 games. I was watching the Italian basketball team play and the guy's last name was spelled F-U-C-K-A.
Oh.
And 14-year-old Hutsy was like, look at this, look at that guy's last name. And the announcers kept like stressing that wasn't how you pronounce his last name. Like, this is not how you pronounce it the way it's spelled, it's differently.
Look, it's very unfortunate. You got a feel for the guy. I mean, he's probably heard it all his life, though. But, you know, when you're competing on a world stage like that, it's tough. Loser by name and nature at this point because Argentina lost against Russia. But Loser has a chance to redeem himself when they play Brazil, I think, later today or tomorrow.
Okay.
And hopefully maybe, you know, Argentina makes it all the way through and they end up, scoring a medal. And then when they get up onto the podium, when Augustin A. Loser stands up to get his medal instead of the Argentinian anthem, maybe they can just play, you know. I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? Just hand on his heart, singing along to Beck. That'd be great.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
You've all done it. You've gone to have a dig around in the crisper and the fridge, and you're like, what is that brown sludge? What was that food? It's a bit of a mystery game, but the worst part is you go like, what a waste. That food just went to waste. And there's a new project that the Bega Valley Shire Council is running called Nourish and Flourish, which is aimed at tackling food wastage, which is a problem not only here on the far south coast, but right across Australia. And to tell us more about it, we are joined by the council's waste project officer, Sarah Eastman. Morning, Sarah.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, really good, thanks. Sounds like a great initiative.
Yeah.
Can you just sort of summarise to people what it's all about?
Sure. So we received funding from the New South Wales EPA through their food donation education program. The key things we're trying to tackle are surplus, unsold and very edible food that actually goes to landfill when there are a lot of people in our community that need help and that are truly in need of food. So what we're trying to do is working with businesses and saying, hey, there's actually these amazing pantries in Bega, Maroongula and Eden that will come around, will take that food, take it back to their pantries and actually provide a service in the community that a lot of people don't actually know is there.
You've got some great businesses that you guys are teaming up with, places like Wild Rise, you've got Pambula Fruit Market, Woolies, Club Sapphire, a whole bunch of local businesses are jumping on board.
Yeah, definitely. So we work with those businesses. A lot of people in the community might be starting to see the TV ads on the TV at the moment.
Yeah, caught those.
It was amazing to work with local community members, get them on the TV. We're hoping to use those businesses to inspire others to get on board.
Yeah, I'm one of these people. That's one of my pet hates. I can't stand wasting food so much so I will gorge myself to not waste food. I can't stand it.
One thing that we're trying to do at the moment as well, very much so through this program, we're working specifically with food-based businesses and clubs, whether we're saving cooked food or uneaten food. There's all sorts of different ways that you can provide that service in the community. But not only that, we're trying to push through our community that if you're doing a pantry clean-out, if you're a home grower and you have 20 kilos of lemons off your tree that you can't get rid of, you've just got to call the pantry. There's definitely somewhere for that food to go across the entire Shire.
And what sort of food, Sarah, should people not donate? Yeah. I expect Brussels sprouts are not accepted.
Acid wash, that sort of stuff.
Personally, I would stay clear of the Brussels sprouts. But there is certain safety measures in place. The Civil Liability Amendment Act, or everyone knows it more so as the Good Samaritan Act, covers you donating certain food that meets certain different food safety conditions. So if you've donated the food in good faith for a charity, then you're covered. But, you know, you make sure that you let the charity know any needs. They need to ensure the ongoing safety of the food and that it's safe to eat when it leaves the possession or control. Normally the pantries focus on the use by and the best before date when they're talking about what kind of foods that they do accept.
I saw on the council website as well, Sarah, that you guys are looking for some recipes. So some recipe ideas. Ooh. I've got one. I've got my 1 minute Brussels sprouts recipe, which is step one, gather the sprouts. Step two, open the lid of the bin. Step three, toss them in there. Don't think that'll make it onto the Nourish and Flourish part of the website, but you are looking for recipe ideas.
Yeah, definitely. The pantries, they get random things. They get all sorts of different items that people might not be used to cooking with, such as Brussels sprouts and all sorts of things. So what they're trying to do is really encourage community members to come in and see what they have and to learn how to cook with what you have available. So we've got Jackie French's zucchini fruit slice recipe that we're going to be sharing with the community soon with some recipe cards. And what we want to do is start to get the community talking and thinking about some of the things that they do with items in their pantry or in their fridge that they might have random stuff left over that they chuck together in a recipe, and maybe one day it worked and they love it and it's one of their favourite recipes, and we want to try and bring the community together and get them all sharing those ideas.
Yeah, we call them Frankenstein recipes in our house. Like, we just use those parts that are left
bubble
over.
And squeak.
That's it. So if people want to get involved, business owners and residents here on the far south coast, what can they do?
You can easily just call council on 6499 2222, and they'll put you through to me if you want to just let them know that they are interested in the Nourish and Flourish program. Otherwise, it's really quick and easy to go to our website at beggarvalley.newsouthwales.gov.au/nourish-and-flourish. At the same time, I'll also be out and about in the community over the next probably 9 or 10 months.
Okay.
So I'll be going face-to-face to all of those food businesses that might be interested, dropping them in cards, and contacting them through other different channels as well. So we'll be reaching out to you, but if you're keen ahead of time, then you can definitely reach out to us and we'll get you involved.
Fantastic. Well, it's a great initiative. The pantries here on the far south coast do an outstanding job already, but it's good to see that the Bega Valley Shire Council has thrown their weight behind a project like this to help them out as well. Sarah Eastman, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Horrible protests over the weekend. There really was. Wollongong, Sydney, just people protesting lockdown. One of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Anything but a peaceful protest. But there's been one guy that's been doing a peaceful protest in Gatton in Queensland for around about a month now. A guy by the name of Wes Walker. It's not just a usual protest where someone chains themselves to, you know, maybe the entrance to a workplace or something like. This guy is basically sitting on a toilet on a highway. It's a very unusual protest. Take a listen to all the details.
King of the roadside throne, Wes has spent the last month staging a protest calling for toilets to be installed at this truck pit stop in Gatton, west of Brisbane.
I'll be honest, I've teared up about it. I'm emotional about it. This is wrong.
He's not the first person to get all teared up and emotional, you know, pinching off the morning loaf. But
maybe get more fiber in your diet, Wes. A bit of Metamucil will help with that.
Yeah, so the last month he's been perched on a busy road in Gatton, basically, because it's a pretty big issue, though. Like, truckies, though, they're working some pretty long shifts.
Mm.
They've built this $18 million uncoupling bay right near where he is, and there's no toilet there on site for the truckies.
That's a bit of an oversight.
That's a huge oversight. So the past month, he's been sitting there with his sign saying, if you need a poo, you need a loo, on the side of the road, but sitting on an actual toilet.
Sounds like he's already halfway there. If he's got the toilet there, just bolt the thing down, bang, you know, you're done.
Exactly right. So obviously this is a story that A Current Affair has jumped on. It's an A Current Affair worthy story.
It's
something
an exclusive.
Like, yeah, so obviously.
Exclusive.
Yeah, he's done all the things to try and, you know, bring this up with local government and things like that. He's got like a whole boatload of signatures as well.
He doesn't have the hole.
Yeah, exactly right. So it looks like the truckies, though, on his side as well. This is what they had to say about the whole situation.
Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, but obviously us as females, we have other needs that men don't have.
You go anywhere else and people expect in their office, in their workshop, in their warehouse to have a toilet.
Sometimes you just got to go. You've been in the truck for 5 or so hours, like, when you pull up, you need to go.
That's right. When you got to go, you got to go. So some of these truckies are risking getting fines because they're having to do things that you and I would not normally have to do. But if you're on a family road trip and there's no toilets around, like you said, when you got to go, you got to go.
You're on a tight schedule. You do hear of the truckies' toilet where they just go into a bottle. Obviously, for the women drivers, not an option. Yeah. And for the male drivers, it can come back to bite them if they go into like an orange Gatorade bottle and then they, you know, mistake it later on. So you need a toilet. That's just a basic human dignity. Give them a toilet at the truck stop. $18 million. You think you would have at least installed that.
It's a little bit ridiculous. So obviously, like I said, he's got the petitions, he's got the signatures, got all that sort of stuff going. And obviously they've contacted the local council saying, you know, okay, what's going on here? You've built an $18 million facility, a decoupling bay, and you can't put one toilet block in there? That's absolutely ridiculous. They were saying it's basically like a health and safety sort of a risk. I'm like, well, it's probably more of a risk of people actually defecating on the grass and things than rather than using a toilet.
Like a bus stop.
Yeah, exactly
instead
right.
of a truck stop.
Yeah.
Why don't they just put a portaloo in as a temporary measure, though?
Kind of ridiculous. Ironically, Wes has actually got a portaloo right behind him where he is, where he's stationed doing his protest because one of the local people was like, well, now he needs to go to the toilet somewhere. So I wonder how protective he is of that thing. He's like, he's campaigning.
So he's got a prop toilet, but then he's got the portaloo in case he has to feel the urge, in case he feels the urge to go while he's protesting about truckies needing to go.
Yep.
Wow. This is
the whole thing is
like
just ass backwards, as you would say, definitely. But this is what the local council had to say about when it comes to truckies and where to use toilets, because they're saying, well, there's plenty of facilities nearby, so it looks like one place, though, is proving to be more popular than others, though.
Of course, the Transport Department says if truck drivers are caught short, they can simply drop in at the BP service station down the highway. Mm-hmm. But Wes says that's not a solution because it means they have to make another stop, and no one has checked with BP to see if they're happy about it.
Imagine that, the poor BP people, like, you know, all of a sudden they're doing some uncoupling of their own at this place a couple of Ks away. On the CB, they're probably like, yeah, I've just got to visit the pump and dump again, but I'm sure the people at BP call it something else. They call it the 6 a.m. shuffle. That's what they call it.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.